Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, everybody. It is Sunday, October 29th. We are in the middle of spooky season, and you know what that means. It is time for the High Risk Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, signed the contract once again, Jeremy Pierce. I am back. I apologize for just going up so late. I have a terrible headache. I'm going to get you this show. But we're here. We're going to make it work. As always, you know, you can check me out on the socials, Charismatic Creations on Facebook and YouTube, Charismatic underscore Creations 52 on Instagram. Of course, the 215 on Twitter, coffee, Patreon donations are always, always welcome. And today's show, well, where'd they go? We're going to be looking at a couple wrestlers and a couple companies that have just completely disappeared. Where are they? What are they doing? What can we do with them? So I won't be before you very long, but for now, you know what's next. So just go on and hit my music. Now, here we have on this list, wanted to do the opposite of what today's episode was about. What we have here are wrestlers that are making the most of their time, and it's very simple. Sometimes you think these people won't get the push, won't make do, but they're doing it. So number five, Allen Angels, former member of the Dark Order, and making the move over to Impact Wrestling. This guy is doing it. He started out, I believe he was part of the design being run by Cody Deaner, and then he's been able to splinter off into his own thing, challenging for the X Division Championship and really just making a name for himself and staking himself in the fabric of Impact Wrestling. He's doing a fantastic job, and the thing I love about Impact is they try their best to use everybody, and Allen Angels is no different. Number four, Kylan King, former Knockouts tag team champion, also former member of the AEW women's roster, moved over to Impact, and it feels like when people move over to Impact, TNA, they just feel revitalized and get rejuvenated, and she became a force to be reckoned with. Now she's rolling into her own singles career in Impact, and I wholeheartedly believe that her first feud will be with her former tag team partner, Taylor Wilde, as she did turn on Taylor. But this is great. Just use the time that you have and play your cards right. Kylan King can become a big star in the Knockouts division. Number three, Austin Theory. Now this is weird because this guy has been used a lot, but there's nothing really working for him. He's still trying to find some more, even though he has a win over John Cena at WrestleMania, even though he's been in two WrestleMania matches. It just seems like nothing really is clicking, but now that he's being tagged with Grayson Waller, something is working. Maybe he's needed somebody to work off of, but Austin Theory can probably get things going now. He's got to do his best with this tag team with Grayson Waller. Number two, The Good Hands. The Good Hands are another grouping of wrestlers that you think there'd be nothing for them, but they are doing their best in Impact. Jason Hotch and John Skyler started out as just that, Good Hands, being the Good Hands of Bully Ray, and they've been able to take that and spin it off into their own tag team, and they have been featured recently in the tag team division of Impact Wrestling. These guys are doing so much, and the one thing we know we love is that Impact cares about tag team wrestlers, and these guys will be a part of that hopefully for a long time to come. And lastly, La Facción Ingobernables. These dudes. Roosh, Drillistico, Preston Vance made their return onto Collision this past weekend, and it's time. After some stumbling blocks, some ups and downs, it looks like these three badasses are going to show that they're just that bad asses. I am really ready to see them put their best foot forward. We can see them challenge for the Trios Championships, possibly even the Tag Team Championships, but being led by Roosh, revitalizing Preston Vance's career, there's so much that they can do, and I am all here for it. We'll be right back. Y'all don't know. You should know by now. Io Sky is my favorite women's wrestler today. I have a lot of women's wrestlers that I'm like huge fans of. Io Sky is number one, and she is making the most of her time. She is not disappearing. She's the current WWE Women's Champion over on the SmackDown brand. Has a big, big match against Bianca Belair at Crown Jewel, which I'm hoping she wins. I hope this is not a way to get the title back to Bianca, to do Bianca versus Charlotte again. No. Io Sky is just a very good professional wrestler. She is amazing inside and outside of the ring, and there aren't many women that can compare and compete with her when it comes to her in-ring abilities. Io Sky probably shouldn't be women's champion on a brand that includes Charlotte, Bayley, and Bianca Belair, but they trust her and they put their faith in her to carry that division, and I'm all here for it. The genius of the sky is doing everything she can to remain on top, and I absolutely support her. Where they go, I missed you so. It's been like that way forever since you've been gone. Yeah. You know, this happens from time to time in wrestling. People just aren't there anymore, and they're still under roster, they're still under contract, and it happens a lot in the WWE, and it happens now in AEW. The only people that you never really have to worry about with this is TNA, Impact. They just use everybody right. So let's take a look at some of the people that have disappeared and just have not been used, and where are they now? So starting on the Monday Night Raw roster, I'm grouping these three women together: Xia Li, Candice LeRae, and Indy Hartwell. I don't know how many times I've said it, time and again, the WWE are completely wasting Candice and Indy. These two women are very, very good, especially Candice, and they can definitely be a boon to the women's tag team division. They are an actual tag team. They should be using the way. And Xia Li, who was once used, you know, really prominently in NXT, has done absolutely nothing on the main roster. Remember one time she helped Damage Control win a match and then just disappeared? Now, part of that was due to Vince McMahon, but now that Triple H is in charge, we're starting to see a little change. Candice has been used on TV. Indy just had a really good match with Becky Lynch, and Xia Li is now calling her shot. But now, here's the thing. Becky Lynch is no longer the NXT Women's Champion. So what's next for Xia? Well, I'm not sure, but I am hoping that these three women can be used and used properly. Xia Li has a lot to offer. Candice LeRae, probably more than any woman currently really not being used properly on the main roster, can offer so much. Indy Hartwell, being a student of Candice LeRae, being in that tag team, being in the way, which again, I don't know why they're not using the way, they can all be used. And speaking of the way, where the hell is Dexter Lumis, also a part of the way. Also, in kayfabe, married to Indy Hartwell. The dude, we are the way. Johnny Gargano, Dexter Lumis, Candice Indy Hell. Throw Ciampa in there. You have a bona fide faction. You have bona fide tag teams. You have stars ready there. And Dexter Lumis is so unique, so different, that I know fans are kind of drawn to him, and his love story with Indy Hartwell was just absolutely great, but he's just not here. You can use him. I want to group all of the way together because they really should be used, and they can be such a big, big help to the WWE. Omos and MVP, I don't know what's going on here. Omos at one point was like huge, huge star. It was... growing, and now he's just not here. He's a free agent because he wasn't drafted during the draft, so him and MVP are just flying about, but there's been nothing done with them. So much was invested in Omos, so much was invested in Omos, and then time and again we got the tease of the Hurt Business coming back, and now that Shelton Benjamin has been released, we're never going to get that. So they moved on to Lashley with the Street Profits. What's going to happen with MVP and Omos? They're a good team. They work well together. And Cedric is just solo. He randomly just showed up on SmackDown. They can use these guys. Omos has been used a lot. Keep using him. Another free agent, Zion Quinn. This dude is just gone. He's just gone. He's a free agent, called up from NXT when he probably should not have been called up from NXT. He has not stepped foot on the main roster. He has not sniffed a main roster match, segment, promo, vignette, interview, nothing. Meanwhile, his girlfriend, Harley Cameron, over in AEW is being used to the best of her abilities, and she is absolutely killing it. Now, I'm not saying that he should leave and go over there because AEW's roster is already big, but Zion Quinn, the cards aren't looking good for him. He may actually be released soon, and I was really, really shocked that he wasn't released soon. Zion Quinn needs to find something. He's got to go talk to somebody and be like, yo, I need to be used. I just don't want to sit and cater. And what can you do? Well, you're always pushing mid-level superstars, giving them minor pushes just to elevate somebody, and just do that. Or what you could do is start treating main event as an actual show, putting storylines on there, building up characters, and have him be developed over there. We'll move over to AEW, and this name comes up a lot, Riho. The first ever AEW Women's Champion is here, and then she's gone, and then she's here. But when she's here, she's great. Her last run, she put on fantastic matches, was part of great storylines, and then she's disappeared again. Now, I know what they kind of do with Riho is she will wrestle and then head back to Japan, so on and so forth, but I want something definitely more consistent for Riho, for this diminutive woman who is an absolute boss in the ring and puts on absolute bangers of matches with anyone she's in the ring with. She can contribute so much, and it's not like the AEW women's division is hurting. They have so much talent on there, and it doesn't really get much better than Riho. How about Taya Valkyrie? Signed to AEW, she's there along with her husband. They have yet to interact. She was in a nice little feud with Chris Statlander and failed to win the TBS championship, but Taya has always been someone who works a lot in Mexico, and she just got finished working with surprisingly Ronda Rousey, Marina Shafir. Wow. But Taya can be used. Now, the thing that will always get to me about AEW is I know of one way to elevate the women's division. Well, one, first of all, put more women's matches on TV, give them more promo time. But two, have them cross over with Impact. The Knockouts Tag Team Championships are always going back and forth between just two of them who aren't being used. Start having that be defended in AEW. Start having that be defended in Ring of Honor. I can see Taya possibly being used in Ring of Honor a lot, and I wouldn't fault them for that. Another grouping of people who I can't think of who doesn't have a fan are the Butcher, the Blade, and the Bunny. Okay, so if y'all don't know this, for some reason, the Bunny is like a ratings mover. She just gets high ratings every time she's on TV. Like, Roman Reigns high. It's weird. Butcher and the Blade are a very, very popular tag team. They're pretty much considered to be nothing more than like elevated jobbers. They win, you know, side matches, but when a major team needs to get a W, they put in the Butcher and the Blade so they can just defeat the Butcher and the Blade. I want so much more for the Butcher and the Blade. I really want them to get a tag team title. One, they have such a unique look. They have so much to offer. I just want to know where they went. Now I have heard that they kind of just like to chill, come and wrestle, chill again, come and wrestle, chill again. But I just want more for them because they're really, really popular. And lastly, Sean Spears. He was just here and he was just gone. Now I know his wife just had a baby, so that counts as them being gone, him being gone. But he's an AEW original. He was there from the beginning, and he can offer so much. He's good on the mic. He's good in the ring. I just want him to be used. The mid card in AEW is really, really good. There's so much good mid card wrestlers in AEW, and he can be a really, really big part of that. Sean Spears is unique. He's been featured in major feuds. He's been in major groups. So it's not like he's not worth it. He's not worth taking a chance on. So we'll see what happens, but that's the start of where they go, ladies and gentlemen. I know this has been a short show. I'm just a little bit under the weather. This headache is absolutely destroying my head, but thank you all for coming out. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for watching. Next week we'll have our crown jewel review, so we won't do a where they go. We won't have a what just happened. We'll just do the review of crown jewel, you know, and we've done that before. Don't forget to check out the High Risk Wrestling Recap every Sunday. This one will probably be on tomorrow, depending on how I'm feeling. And don't forget to check out the social Charismatic Creations on Facebook, Tumblr, and Facebook and YouTube. Charismatic_Creations52 on Instagram, The215 on Twitter. And as always, Xia Li, Willow Nightingale, Gigi Dolan, Shotzi Blackheart, Isla Dawn, Bailey, Holland.